Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Welcome to Hoovering, the podcast about eating. I'm Jessica Fostercue. I love eating as much as anything else in the world, but also it sometimes brings me conflict, shame, and all sorts of other things that are rubbish. It's complicated and I think fascinating. This is a conversation with an interesting soul, not just about food, but about gobbling it up, or if you will, hoovering.
Hey lovely eaters, welcome. I've got a really lovely episode here. I had a very funny, happy chat with Ben Liebus, creator of the online food platform Mob Kitchen and author of a brand new, very, very brilliant book called Mob Veggie. It's a bit like the Mob Kitchen one, but it's got no meats in it. First up, my usual thanks loads to you all for listening. Please tell everyone there is about the podcast if you like it. Contact me if you want. Follow us at the Hoovering Pod. We're on all the socials. And if you've got any spare wedge, please go to patreon.com/thehooveringpod and you can see all the wonders I'll swap you in exchange for your pennies, exciting free content, a discount to live shows and all sorts. I would love to see you at a Hoovering live show. The next one's now at the Edinburgh Festival on the 13th and 14th of August at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I've got some mind-blowing acts on the lineup. I'm going to wait until they're all sorted until I reveal them. Also, that's just after my stand-up show Hench, which I'm there doing for the whole month at 1:30 in the same venue, Monkey Barrel. So why not pop along to that as well? It's selling well, so that's nice. And of course, don't forget that Hoovering is going on tour from September. We'll be hopefully coming to do a live show near you. So come. Go to livenation.co.uk and search for Hoovering and their tickets will come up. Come. Right, that is enough admin. Let's have a podcast, shall we? I met lovely Ben in Borough, where his Mob Kitchen headquarters are, and I brought us some lunch, which was a recipe from his genuinely badass new book, Mob Veggie. I made us a baba ganoush, some slaw, with some pita bread.
Is this your home or your office or both?
This is just the office now, but my bed was just up there at the beginning.
Was
it? For the first 8 months. So.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Oh, that is very cool, actually.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to live somewhere where the bedroom is tucked up in the ceiling.
Really?
The main room.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I had a holiday once where we stayed in an apartment and it was like that.
Yeah, it gets a little hot. Mm. And just... Classic.
Too popular.
As the business was growing, I guess it was becoming less and less tenable to be waking up and walking down in my PJs.
Yeah. You're too professional, Ben. Quickly, how do you say your last name?
Liebus.
Liebus, okay, yeah. That's lucky. That's good.
Originally from Germany. It was Liebus, but they dropped the I. I'm not sure. Yeah, maybe.
Don't know why.
For ease, pronunciation.
That's fascinating.
But it is the most mispronounced and misspelled surname ever. So,
okay, yeah. Fine. You've written this new badass book called Mob Veggie, following the huge success of your first book and YouTube series, Mob Kitchen. I want you to talk me through all that. But first of all, I've brought something from your cookbook.
Looks amazing.
There's so much in it that looks so fit. It was really hard to pick. I basically picked on based on what would travel from southeast London to a slightly more central bit of southeast London.
It looks like it's travelled very well.
It looks okay, doesn't it? So it's baba ganoush, some halloumi. I nearly forgot what halloumi was called for a minute. Grated carrot, and I think maybe I fucked this up mildly because I couldn't find raw beetroot,
so
I grated some cooked beetroot.
That's fine. I think that'll be good. I think that probably a bit more digestible, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
It's definitely messy.
Yeah.
It's definitely pretty messy. Mm. Okay, fine.
So should we
and
just
then
load
there's a minute coriander in there. Yeah. But is there a rule? Is there an order you're meant to do things
so
in?
So I like to go in with
toasted.
I like to go in with a kind of nice spread of baba ganoush first.
Ooh. Okay, I'm going in halloumi first because I want the pita bread to warm up the halloumi that's
cooled very nice.
Down on its
yeah,
way.
Yeah, yeah. And then I guess that it kind of holds the rest in place. So I go in with a bit of halloumi and then.
Oh, you're doing this in a much prettier way than me. I think it might be quite funny to compare us afterwards. I'm all into big flavours. I'm not very good at presentation.
Presentation, yeah. And then we go in with that lovely slaw.
Oh. Yeah, I was surprised. Well, I don't know why I was surprised. I was interested that there's nothing, like, there's no liquid in that slaw. It's just the grated veggies and herbs.
Yeah.
You don't need it because the baba ganoush is...
Exactly, so full
need.
Of flavour, exactly. And I think you want it to be nice and fresh and light. So
yeah.
And then you go in with the more baba ganoush. How did this come out price wise?
Oh, real good actually. And in fact, so I've done a very, very lazy thing because I didn't even know it existed. I've promised I've never done it before in my life, but I saw in the going off veggie section of Asda.
Oh, yeah.
But they had bags of already grated carrot.
Oh, really?
Reduced to 11p.
Wow.
So I haven't even grated my own carrot.
Mm, that's bargain.
Oh, you've made yours look so good. I feel like I need to pap yours because you've made it look spectacular compared to mine.
That was just a pocket of joy right there.
Yeah.
A couple of little herbs on the top.
Wow. Smashed it. And then one of mine. My much messier looking one. Classic. Talk me through the whole Mob Kitchen thing, really. It's been embraced by so many people. I want to know stuff like, was it ever aimed at anyone in particular to start with?
Specifically at students. So
oh.
I created it. I had the idea when I was at Edinburgh University, and I've always been a very keen foodie. My dad ran an Italian restaurant for 15 years. And so I've always been very into food, but I saw that my friends weren't as into kind of experimenting with food and cooking that I was, and
right.
They weren't naturally going to jamieoliver.com or BBC Good Food in order to find recipes and foodie inspiration. So yeah, I wanted to create a space specifically for them, with recipes specifically for them, with this kind of like catchy tagline of feeding four for under a tenner, so I could
yeah.
show that it was actually really easy and accessible and affordable to cook, you know, healthy and delicious food.
Yeah.
And yeah, you know, all the other various bits that are part of the platform, the music with all the videos and the recipes, all kind of introduced and
yeah, every recipe in the book has a song that your men are put on while you cook it.
Exactly.
That's a very cool idea. Never
yeah.
seen anything like that before.
Yeah, well, I guess, you know, just with that idea of kind of student cooking in mind, it, you know, students love listening to music when they're cooking, and it's a kind
yeah.
of party
well,
atmosphere.
Everyone
in the
does.
Kitchen. Yeah, no, exactly.
Except,
but
I guess older people will be listening to different music,
maybe
but we can't know.
Yeah, yeah,
we
not
can
so
never
much
judge
drum and
that.
Bass. And, yeah, maybe,
maybe
not.
Maybe not. We don't know that. There could be, there'll be someone out there in their 60s making these baba ganoush pitters to square pusher.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's nothing any of us can do about it.
Exactly.
This is so delicious, by the way. I was nervous I'd burnt the garlic, but I think it's fine.
Really good,
it's
yeah.
It's so simple that you just stick aubergines and garlic in without even having to do anything to them.
Exactly, yeah.
And then just squeeze out the inside.
Exactly. Well, that's the thing. The garlic, I find... I'm going to take a bite of mine after I finish talking, so I feel like I'm
yeah,
not
going to be able
to
get the
words out.
Yeah, I need to give you a break. At some point, I'll yeah. stop and tell a story just so you can have some lunch.
Nice.
Otherwise, this is torture for you.
But I think I find raw garlic incredibly overpowering, and with a lot of baba ganoush and hummus recipes that you just grate raw garlic in.
Ghost door.
Yeah, with a lot of those recipes, with hummus and baba ganoush, you'll find a bit of raw garlic grated in. Even if it's a tiny amount, it just lingers, you know, and I just can't really deal with it. So no. if you just roast garlic, it just takes all of the intensity out. You can squidge it in and...
You can still get off with people afterwards.
Exactly.
And that is, if you're a student, really important, actually. Yeah. I haven't even thought about that, if this was originally aimed at students, because I think now it's got much broader reach. Like, I'm 36 and I haven't been a student for a long time, but I'm really genuinely really impressed by the cookbook. I'm
about
to go up to the Edinburgh Festival for a month where I can't take all of my, you know, the stuff that I have in trays, stuff, and it's like, oh, I think this actually, if I'm going to take one cookbook, I'm going to take this, because it's the simplicity of it.
Thank
do you know
you.
What I mean?
Yeah.
And it's also full of the sort of stuff that I love anyway, lots of tahini and lots of spice. And
yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Why veggie? Because the last cookbook wasn't.
Just
the sign of the times?
Sign of the times. I think we're getting so much feedback on our platform about how people are wanting to... I think 95% of our platform are meat eaters, but a lot of them are, you know, wanting to experiment with taking up a more kind of like... plant-based diet.
95% still, do you reckon?
Yeah, massive.
I think you've got more hipsters than you know.
No, you'd be really surprised, yeah. Because, you know, the vegan communities are so loud, and so there's this like illusion that, you know, if you look at like social media and what people are talking about on social media, you would really... I think you would think that maybe like 45-50% of the population are currently vegan, whereas
it's
absolutely
bubble,
not
it?
The
it's
case,
bullshit. Yeah.
And... the, you know, most of the students that follow us are meat eaters, seriously, like 90-95%, but they are interested in kind of experimenting with, you know, more plant-based diet, being a bit more flexitarian, that kind of thing. So we wanted to create this cookbook with those guys in mind, and offer them some meat alternatives, basically. Yeah.
That's very cool. Personally, I think that's the way forward.
Yeah. Like,
and it's my... I was sort of temporarily trying being vegan when I started this podcast like a year and a half ago. And then I accidentally sort of got really into it for a few months. But now for a long time, it's been very much vegan-ish. I think if you can even flirt with it a little bit, then it's just a little nod and wink to the planet occasionally. Like,
exactly.
You know, everyone is mindful of that. Doesn't have to be so absolutist and kind of religious as... when it's a whole big thing. Yeah, I hadn't thought about that. I think it's just a sign of the media bubble that you live in, if you live in any big city, and how social media can make you feel.
Seriously.
Like something's massive.
Seriously.
When it's...
Yeah. I was shocked when we... Because one of the guy who works at Mob, who manages our Twitter, did a poll. And it was just overwhelming how many people were meat eaters. And like even like our veggie and vegan content does so much better than the meat content.
Yeah.
Because those communities are so kind of active on social media, but in reality, when it came down to it, it was
But then you can be like a meat eater and then still want to eat in from a veggie recipes five nights a week. I think that's becoming more and more standard. I think that might be how we save the planet.
Yeah, maybe. Hopefully.
I hope so. Yeah. But you don't have to give up anything.
Chicken's my one that I find
very
difficult.
Is it your fallback?
Yeah. I love chicken.
Right.
I love chicken.
I wish people listening could see how much your face had just lit up.
Yeah.
I really love chicken.
I couldn't
really
care. Honestly, chicken. I don't think I could care less if I was told I wouldn't be able to eat pork, lamb or beef. But chicken is just so good.
Yeah, when it's good. But again, I feel like we might get there. We might get to the point where we can make an alternative that's damn good. There are some amazing fake chickens out there.
Have you tried this?
No.
Oh, my God.
Is that really good? It's called this.
It's this new product that they do kind of like chicken goujons and chicken nuggets.
Wow.
And they've partnered with Patty and Bun.
Oh, nice.
So they're being sold in Patty and Bun. And that's where I first came across them. And they are, they're hot and they're so good.
Brilliant.
And chicken-like. It's kind of unbelievable.
Scary.
Yeah.
They do a buttermilk chicken in Mildred's. Have you ever been in there?
I haven't.
That's really good as
really?
Well. And it's like a bit frighteningly good.
Really?
Yeah. You used to be a Deliveroo driver.
Yeah.
Was that when you were a student?
No, it wasn't. It was when I was... So when I moved back home with mum and dad as I launched Mob Kitchen. So I launched the platform, filmed these videos at the start of the summer when I left Edinburgh, summer 2016.
What were you studying in Edinburgh?
History.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, totally unrelated.
Amazing.
I feel my essay writing abilities have aided my, you know, efforts in trying to pitch to people and emails and that kind of thing.
That's
so
handy,
I do like to think that those 4 years were well spent and in some way kind of contributed to my career in
and not just your debts.
Yeah, exactly.
I've got a law degree that I have never used and my parents are absolutely gutted. But Is it true when you are doing Deliveroo that if someone doesn't collect their food and like you've really tried that you get to eat
you
it?
You do, yeah.
And how often does that happen? / is it often enough?
I didn't that ever happen to me. They're always eagerly sometimes angrily waiting for the
screw you guys.
Yeah. But it was for me, it was a because I moved back home with mum and dad to start the platform, and I very naively thought that I thought the content was so amazing that it would go viral overnight, which obviously it didn't.
And there's a confidence right there. I thought it would probably go viral overnight.
I know I did. I thought I'd have a million followers in 2 weeks. And so every single new video I uploaded, I was like, this is going to be the one. And it didn't happen. And I was sitting at home with mum and dad uploading a new video every 3 days, and I was kind of beginning to go a bit stir crazy. So I took up being a delivery rider, you know, to bring a bit of money in, but also to kind of like physically get out and about. I was like hiding flyers in the pizza boxes and that kind of thing.
Brilliant.
And while I think the impact was probably completely negligible, definitely completely negligible, I think...
Honestly.
Yeah. I think having a feeling that I was like able to like actively do something and actively move and hand people things and talk to people about the idea, even if it was one or two people a day, kind of like helped my own sanity. So
yeah, of course. Yeah. Some face-to-face interaction is massively important.
Yeah.
God, it comes back to that stuff I was saying about social media before, really.
Mm.
I've got a friend who if you want some lunch, I'll tell a story. But I've got some friends who just about a year ago moved to, bless you, moved to Plymouth. They've got young kids, and he was a primary school teacher, and he didn't love it. And he moved straight into a teaching job when they moved down there. But he was like, he just couldn't, his heart wasn't in it. And then, but they had to make some kind of income, and he stopped. And he is a rider for like, I think about 3 different takeaway companies now. But exactly like you were saying, I'd never thought about the element of it. It's all on a push bike. It's massive fitness thing. Like you are moving you all the time, and you're interacting with people in a way where they're really grateful to see you because you're bringing them something lovely. You're bringing people joy, which is surely what everybody wants in a job, really. It's what cooking for people does. Mm-hmm. So it's the same thing as bringing people food. I think it's a really lovely stepping stone into... you can really see he's happier than he's ever been, basically, doing this job.
Really?
At the same time, gets loads of time with his young kids.
Yeah.
And, you know, it might not be forever, but he's moving his body and he's bringing people joy.
Exactly.
And I feel like you hear lots of stories of people going from various careers into stuff to do with food. For example, why is a comedian doing a podcast about eating? But I just really love eating. And I think there's a lot of stuff in the world about food and not that much stuff about eating. I think eating is the thing that brings you joy. But,
absolutely.
And it's more complicated than just food. But anyway, what a lovely stepping stone to go from literally physically bringing people some food to going, right, all right, then what's the bigger platform for this then?
Yeah.
The internet.
Exactly.
Delicious.
Have you got a favourite recipe from the book? And that's the last thing specifically I want to know about the book. I am bang up for making the roasted cauliflower thing.
Delicious, very simple, just
that feels
cauliflower.
Like a centrepiece for a it actual is, proper yeah. do. Mm.
And actually that, and it's just so easy. You just put a cauliflower on a baking tray and cover it in some spices and olive oil and salt and pepper and whack it in the oven and... and that's really the kind of messaging of the book, that none of it is so simple. I've never had any training in my life. So really it's about the extent of my culinary ability that is in the book. So very pared down, basic.
I bet you've learned, though, as you've gone along, and you must have done loads of testing and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. So through that I have, and I guess like various techniques that are probably a little bit more, you know, beyond just like frying garlic and chilies and olive oil in a pan, you know, things with corn flour and Asian cooking and, I don't know, grilling and that kind of thing, and sauce making, which is stuff that I've picked up along the way. But
have you always been an adventurer or a recipe follower or a mixture?
I hate following recipes.
Do you?
Yeah.
No wonder these are so simple then. I love it because I quite like the freedom with it.
Well, I think that's great that you say that, and I love to hear that, because we have got some feedback from people as well from the other side who've said they are very, very simple, you know, like...
I like it.
I like it as well, but, you know, it isn't, you know, put 3/4 of a teaspoon of paprika in this specific... like moment or whatever. It is very
assumes, it doesn't assume any skill. Yeah. And I think honestly anyone could use it, but it does assume a will and a confidence.
Exactly.
And that's fine.
Yeah.
It just the song should be buoying you up enough for you to
exactly.
be like, what is enough paprika? And if you're eating it and go, that was too much paprika, then you'll know for next time.
Exactly.
The other thing from it I'm desperate to make is that Brazilian stew, but I can't... How do you say that?
I told the whole team...
Frijoles.
No, it's actually... It's pronounced almost exactly as it's written.
Oh.
Feijoada.
Feijoada.
But I thought it was feijoada, and I was telling everyone on the shoot for like 2 months, and then... And this prop stylist came in and being like, you're an idiot. That isn't how it's pronounced.
If it helps, for the first 21 years of my life was brought up by my mum to blame someone else, to pronounce the coffee press as a cafetier.
Oh, really? Yeah. Wow, that is a bad one.
Yeah. I grew up in Dorset. Why was she saying cafetier?
Cafetier.
And my friends at uni had to train me. They were like, cafe... Thierry Henry, Café Thierry Henry. I still struggle. I still have to do a break between the two halves of the word. Like a moron. Right, I'm just going to ask you some random general things about eating.
Cool.
Tell me something. This is a brand new question, so it might be terrible. Tell me something you remember eating whilst you're in a moving vehicle.
Oh, my God. Driving back from football with my dad and my brothers, we'd always stop at... Mackie D's on the way home and get a Big Mac and chips. And for some reason in that drive on the way back from the Arsenal, it didn't feel as gluttonous and unhealthy. It felt like it's like, you know, when you eat in airports or on a train, you
doesn't
feel like
count.
You can eat, just doesn't count.
Yeah.
You can eat whatever you want.
It's the same with alcohol in this
any
space,
diet
actually.
Or like normal, like, yeah. you know, any ideas that you have with food of things you do or don't want to normally consume. When you're on the move, you just feel like you can eat whatever you want. So
my friend Sally, who is one of the healthiest people I know, has an amazing theory that because, you know, when you're on the moon, gravity is 6 times less pull on you. So your mass is lighter in some weird,
right.
some weird
yeah,
physics
yeah.
of it. That that means that if you are in a plane because you're that bit closer to the moon, you can eat 6 times more.
Wow.
And that rule also counts for in airports as
really?
Well. Yeah.
Nice.
And I think, I mean...
I'll take that theory. Yeah.
Yeah. Both of us are obviously qualified scientists enough to say that that is... solid fact that you can take. It's
yeah,
really
perfect.
Great medical
I
advice.
Will.
I think a Mackie D's in the car is the best. Do you always have Big Mac?
Yeah, Big Mac's my order at Mackie D's.
Yeah.
And fries.
Do you remember what sort of age did you graduate from a Happy Meal to a Big Mac?
I was one of those kids, like from the age of five. We used to, you know, like the kid. There was like the kids' tea, and then the adults would have. I was like livid from the age of like 4 years old that I wasn't
keep
having.
Hearing about this happening when you're like, I don't want your fucking beige food nuggets.
Yeah.
I want
a Big Mac. So, I mean, as early as I could, I think. I was never... I was always eating what I was trying to eat what the adults were eating and not eating, you know, whatever, baked beans and fish fingers.
I think that's spectacular. No wonder you're into swanky food. tell me about anything you've ever eaten in your sleep or in a state that you don't remember and the next day we're like, I've eaten something.
My memory's taking me to the nights out in Edinburgh and just coming back and raiding the fridge with whatever was there. I can't really eat Encona hot sauce anymore because of the amount of times that we'd come back and anything that was in the fridge, leftover pastas or couscous, the only way to kind of jazz up the flavour was just throwing a shitload of Encona on it. And
Not good the next day.
No.
You can feel it in your mouth as soon as you wake up if there's been some... very brightly coloured
hot sauce exactly.
to you the night before. Have you ever had a patch where you ate the same thing every day?
Yes.
Tell me about it.
It's loads of patches like this.
Oh,
I go
really?
Through. Yeah, I go through like periods of being completely obsessed with one food. So I reckon like the first was when I was 10 or 11. I was obsessed with a cheese Plowmans. And I was obsessed with this idea of like, just like...
I don't know. I wish I wasn't sipping my drink because the idea of a 10-year-old being obsessed with a cheese Plowmans is adorable.
But like this idea of like ripping off like a hunk of bread and like just having like a hunk of cheese. And like, I don't know where I saw it. Maybe in like a Famous Five book or something.
Yeah.
And And I just, literally I would like walk from my house to the village shop and buy all the ingredients, and I'd make it for myself every single day, and I was hooked on it.
Wow.
For 3 months.
Do you have pickle? Do you have pickle with it?
Yeah, pickle, of course. Yeah, Piccalilli or Branson pickle or like whatever, yeah.
Nice. What a funny old person's lunch choice to have gotten obsessed with as a young child. Yeah. That's really good.
And then another one that I've been obsessed with is my dad's, my favourite dish ever is my dad's puttanesca, which...
Is that just a sexy red sauce? Oh, it's got fish in it?
Yeah, it's got fish in it, anchovies, and he did it with tuna to bulk it out. Ooh. But it's basically olive oil into a pan, and then you put in 3 cloves of chopped garlic, some chili flakes, and like 7 or 8 anchovies with the anchovy oil, fried all down, and then add in 2 tins of chopped tomatoes, a big handful of capers... cook it all down until the tomato sauce is nice and thick, throw in a massive handful of chopped parsley, and if you want at the end a bit of tinned tuna, and then toss it through some pasta, and he would make that for us every Sunday evening. So that's my ultimate kind of comfort food.
That's amazing. What a really nice thing to have.
And I got so into it that I wasn't wanting to eat pasta twice a day every day while I was at university, so I just ended up making that sauce all the time, bulk making that sauce and having it with beans or that kind of like puttanesca sauce from my dad is something that I got really hooked on for a stage at uni.
Can you freeze it? You're making me want to make one today.
Yeah, we always get asked so many times if we can... why wouldn't you be able to freeze that?
Why wouldn't you be able to freeze that? I don't understand.
What can't you freeze? I don't know. I need to look it up.
I only don't know about... Of course all that's going to be fine, isn't it? A tinned anchovy.
I think it's
fine.
As long as you heat it through.
Yeah.
That's the important thing.
What I've done is ask you a question you can't possibly know the answer to. So.
No, I can and I should. I run a cooking platform.
But I don't have a clue. Have you eaten anything particularly awful in the last week? Until I brought you around some... No, this is bloody lovely. I'm surprised at how well this has travelled.
Oh my God. The thing that I've really gone off in the last week has been we've just finished the mini mob school tour, which is we've toured around about 20 primary schools in London and just outside of London, teaching the year 4, 5, and 6 kids
how to cook a
healthy
ones.
Veggie wrap. Yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah. But we get to the first school and we do this veggie wrap, and it's just a kind of tortilla wrap with hummus, black beans, 4 different veggies, so cucumber, pepper, tomato, and avocado chopped up, and then a bit of cheddar on top. So super healthy.
Yeah.
Quite hard line healthy. It's also on a whole meal tortilla, so not that exciting really. And one kid comes up to me at the end of the session and just goes, "I thought you were a proper chef. This is rubbish." And it was the first one that we did, and I had a little confidence hit, and I was like, God, maybe we should change out. So I spoke to the guys, and I was like, I think we need to bring something into the, put something into the wrap that's a little bit more exciting. So we bought two packs of cool
blue Doritos. I can't believe you've accepted feedback from a brutal, evil child.
But it was general feedback. Right. We could see they were all pretty dismayed. And so we brought 2 packs of cool blue Doritos to every single one of the next sessions. We basically said, if you try all of the ingredients that are on your table, you're going to be allowed this special ingredient at the end. And so they all did it, and they tried all of the ingredients, and we're getting into it, you know, partly because they were incentivized by this secret ingredient. And we pull out the Doritos at the end, and they all went mental when they saw them. And so we'd crumble a little bit in all of them, and I was having, you know, the leftover Doritos or whatever, and it was all over my hands and fingers. And I've suddenly, like, just now, we've given them so much free promo with all this school stuff, so I don't mind snagging them off a bit. But I mean, this disgusting
you don't, you can have too
stuff
much
on
cool
my hands.
Original
yeah,
dust.
Exactly.
It's strong. That's
and it's
a
sticky
pretty powerful,
and cheesy
intense thing.
Yeah.
Oh.
And pretty, like, fake tasting after a while, you know, after like an hour of not being in the school and it's still all over your fingers. So that I've had a little aversion to Doritos for the time being.
You Doritoed out.
Yeah,
we've all been there.
Yeah, we have.
There's probably no crisp you can't have too much of.
That's true.
No great crisp.
Yeah.
Good for you for doing those school things. I think that kids are the cruelest audience or like client or whatever for that thing. In stand-up, you can do there are gigs that you can do in the daytime, certainly at festivals and stuff for kids. And there's this lovely, brilliant company called Comedy Club for Kids. And I've had about two or three goes at it and gone, it's not for me. Yeah. And I did one where I'd bought some costumes and stuff and was just going to do some mucking about. But I thought, I've got one obviously totally clean bit of material that's like a big story and very active. I'll do that. And I thought it was going all right. And then this like 6 or 7 year old girl put her hand up and I was like, you're right. She went, excuse me, but I think you've forgotten this is actually meant to be for kids. And I was like, oh God,
really?
It's like the worst shade you can throw. And I was like, they're brutal. Right. Know your audience.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
What's the earliest thing you remember eating in your life?
Oh,
I feel like it's going to be something quite swanky.
Yeah.
If you were straight on the adult menu, quite young.
God, I don't know. Maybe like school food in my primary school. Yeah. I don't know.
Was just... the food good in your primary school?
Yeah, it was good. It was all right. I actually went and did a talk there the other day. To the leaving year group.
Was that terrifying? Or do you like that kind of thing?
I quite liked it. Yeah. I mean, I did have public speaking nerves at the beginning of but I've done a few of them now, so I kind of have the story on lock.
Sure.
So. But I went into the kind of canteen area and loads of the old things were there, which really brought back memories. So there was like a pudding that was on, which was that like pineapple upside down cake.
Of course.
So that was a real one for me. And
where did you go to primary school?
In Oxford.
Oh,
yeah.
Lovely.
So I grew up in Oxford.
Yeah.
Things like pineapple upside down cake and, I guess, like the fish and chips on Fridays, which I loved with like vinegar all over it, and those big, which probably weren't that nice, those big like thick yellow oven chips. But yeah we loved them.
Loved them as kids. Yeah. Oh, that's very lovely. I forgot about those pineapple upside down cakes.
Yeah.
I remember break times. Our school food was, some of it was great, but none of it was very healthy.
Really?
It was before anyone was making people be healthy in schools.
Yeah.
And every break time, we all got a Chelsea bun. And
really?
That was really good.
Very nice, yeah. We got our, like, Bourbon biscuits. We've actually just partnered with, do you remember these?
Oh my God, Fox's party rings.
Yeah.
Whoa, amazing.
Yeah. Which are actually just, I think they are just pure sugar,
yeah,
even the biscuit bit.
Yeah.
And they're rock hard. So weird.
They are so fun. Yeah, they look how fun they are. I'm all right.
Weird, though, the smell brings back memories. It's amazing.
It does. And actually, I've got a 3.5-year-old and he loses his shit for colourful, sugary stuff.
Really?
Like that. I mean, that's exactly who that's for, right?
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Wow!
Yeah.
It is. It's something really party.
Well, we've got a lifetime supply there.
Oh, I would love to. Thank you. Very kind. Actually, that ties on from that. Have you got any particular memories or opinions on birthday eating?
I was always a massive chocolate fan when I was younger, so chocolate cakes were my big passion, I guess. Apparently up until the age of 8, I was just obsessed, literally, I think like 7 or 8, I was obsessed with getting naked, and in all of my party, in all of my like birthday pictures, I'm just completely stark naked.
I think you're just
naked.
Pretending that this is only finished when you were 7 or 8.
Yeah.
Really, this went well into adulthood.
But yeah, no, there are lots of snaps of me like hovering around the birthday cake section, completely stark naked.
In your birthday suit.
But
even
at
somebody
cake.
Else's birthday. Exactly.
Yeah.
That's really funny. just smeared in chocolate.
Yeah.
Like Stig of the Dump, instead of mud, chocolate all over you. My cousin Dan, I don't know why I've just randomly remembered this, but would eat so much at every birthday party that he puked.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
He's not a big guy. He's probably one of the most sensible men I know.
Really?
When it comes to eating now. But as a child,
I'm kind of like that now. I have to really limit myself because I'm gluttonous. Yeah. Over Christmas or when we're on holiday, yeah. I just go. I really go in to the point where I'm in quite a serious amount of discomfort.
But it's something, if it's not, you know, no one wants to live like that day in, day out. But as part of something celebratory, there's something quite nice about that, the pain of that discomfort. Also, you know, it's temporary.
Exactly. That is true. Yeah. That is true.
I mean, and there probably are people who like it too much and enjoy the pain all the time. I need to stop asking people that. It sounds dirtier than it is, but the question is, what's the worst thing you've ever done with food? But I mean as in like maybe a prank.
This isn't so much a prank, but we used to do this thing at university. There's this game called Danger Fives.
Tell me about Danger Fives.
I think the rules were, it's kind of like a rock, paper, scissors type thing, and there are five people playing, and you all... Oh yeah, you basically... There are five people playing and you all have to, you go 1, 2, 3 and with your right hand, you either show a 0 or a 5. And if you guess the correct number of all of the numbers of all the hands that everyone's putting up, so anywhere between 0 and 25, you're able to pull your hand out. And so it whittles it down until it's the final person. And that final person has to do a kind of... forfeit, basically.
Right.
And at university where, you know, the kitchen was the kind of...
Was this a drinking game? Or was this an eating a terrible thing?
That's the thing. At the university, so it was kind of drinking, but a lot of the time at uni, you know, it was always done in the kitchen. So the forfeits ended up being really foodie based. And the worst one that I ever had to do was... there was a jar of, there was a kind of egg cup filled with garlic powder.
Ooh.
And it was just before we went out and I had to shot the garlic powder. Yeah.
Just the dust.
Just the dust.
Oh, God. Is that like the cinnamon challenge? But
yeah, kind of like garlicky and intense.
Oh, and God. So, and then did it not burn? How did you get it down? Were you not allowed to drink?
I ended up being allowed to drink. And then I went out with everyone to the club. And I think I was there for like 2 minutes before it. But okay, I realized that I wasn't going to be able to be in public for a couple of days before it all washed through. So I just went home.
Oh, God. And then was it... I imagine it then. It's in your sweat.
It's disgusting.
Do you know what? I hate garlic powder. There's
really?
Some things where the tiniest amount of it I can get why it helps.
Yeah.
But this, I love garlic, but garlic powder is a different taste.
Completely.
It's something really synthetic and cloying. Oh, mate, that is brutal.
You're horrible.
I did a chili eating competition. Someone had a chili plant at a house party once, and that's probably the most brutal thing like that I've done. But this lad was like, go on, go on, go on. And I was like, all right. And then in the end... I ate 5 chilies. He had to do 3 bites on each one and swallow it. And I was in agony, but he kind of went purple and needed to go home.
Really?
Because I could have half a pint of milk and then I was fine, and he didn't drink milk.
Wow.
So he was just upstairs just blowing bubbles into a sink filled with cold water.
Horrible.
And actually, that's probably really dangerous, isn't it?
I wonder, is there a chili that you could eat that's so hot it could...
For sure. I've read who can believe... And I've just spotted some cool... original Doritos in the background and thought, oh God, they're with you forever. I'm sure I read something, not that you can necessarily trust the news, about someone in America probably who ate because they have chili eating competitions for people to come and watch. I don't know if I would want to watch it. I feel sweaty just talking about it.
And what happened? They died?
Yeah, someone died.
How? Like their heart?
Heart attack, yeah.
Fuck.
Because that's a massive physiological reaction. If you've got to the point where you're, you know, all your complexion's changed and you're sweating. That means your heart is doing something.
Yeah, exactly.
But if you think probably of a concept about the sort of person who's prepared to enter a competition that there probably isn't even a money prize for, so that people can watch you eat too much of a thing that's quite painful to eat. He's probably not going to be someone who is in the best health anyway.
That's true.
Potentially.
Yeah.
certainly not mentally. 5 second rule, what are your thoughts on that? I think what I mean by this question is, what's the grottiest you've gotten in terms of stuff that you've eaten that you maybe shouldn't have?
I think it completely depends on the... I think it depends on the state of the floor that it's dropped on. So, public places, I'd say a no-go if it's...
Really?
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
Like a pavement or a train. Would you say otherwise?
I would have usually have said otherwise until I had a child that's like a dog. And just this week gone, we were eating outside by the sea on a bench, and earlier that day he'd found an old bit of cake in his rucksack, and I said no, we're not having that, like, that's been in there for a couple of days, really. And I put it behind me and we were on the beach, and later I was in the sea, so I was too far away to do anything about it. I saw him picking it out of the sand underneath my bag and eating it.
Wow.
And then later that afternoon we were eating by the sea, and seagulls kept coming and landing on our table, and we'd shoo them away, but they're really brave. They're like sea foxes.
Yeah,
they're
yeah.
too brave.
Yeah, yeah.
And then during that meal at one point, so obviously it's an outdoor table, obviously there's been birds on it, probably birds shitting on it throughout the day. He dropped a bit of ketchup, and just before I could stop him, kind of climbed onto the table on all fours and licked the ketchup directly off.
Wow.
Directly off the table. Like off the
kind of back it.
Yeah. So because of watching that and not really stopping it, and it being quite a regular occurrence, and him being generally fine.
Yeah, yeah.
Health-wise.
Oh, so you actually...
I think, I don't know. Maybe.
I think it actually maybe makes you healthier, because you're taking in that bacteria.
I mean, his immune system is badass.
Really? Yeah, I bet.
It has to be.
Yeah.
But on the odd occasion where he does get tummy ill, I think, well, you fucking deserve it.
Cross the line there.
Absolutely. Bloody deserved it. Stop licking the table, you tramp. No, I think that's fair enough. I think it's obviously... Yeah, it's all about context, isn't it? If something's fallen into a dog's bed, I'm not going to pick it up and eat it.
Yeah,
if something's fallen into the footwell of my car and I'm still hungry and it was a nice thing to eat...
You're going
to
go for it.
I'll be all over that.
Yeah, yeah, same.
also, I feel bad when I talk to people who work in food and on food platforms, because I don't obviously ever mean it in a professional context. I've had chefs that be like, no! And you're like, oh, come on, I'm on about when you're at home. Of course no one's serving anybody something that's fallen in a dog's bed. Do you think you've ever eaten or not eaten something that's genuinely helped with an illness or a medical thing? I should say.
Kind of reverse of this, which is the worst thing. I used to get... I had bad eczema when I was younger, and I used to get... I used to get really bad tummy aches.
Yeah.
And no one could work out what it was from. And we ended up going to this doctor who... this really like posh upmarket doctor who I went in there, and he did these tests where I'd hold these little tubes in my hand, and he'd push my arm down, and he basically somehow thought that, I don't know, the less resistance you could give would show that, if you couldn't resist his push, it would show that you maybe had some kind of reaction to what was in the tube you were holding.
This is an upmarket,
Harley Street. Yeah,
wow.
Yeah. 200-300 quid a
Jesus
session.
Jesus Christ.
And so I was holding something that I think there was lactose in it.
Right.
And I was 12, a chocolate lover. And we get to the end of it, and he was like, yeah, we did one, and it had lactose in it. And so I think Ben's lactose intolerant. And it was like someone had just told me my entire family had passed away. I was with my mum, and apparently I broke into hysterical tears on the street. I couldn't believe, I wasn't going to be able to eat chocolate anymore, whatever. And I was off lactose for a year and a half, and then and I think it ended up being something like wheat, and it was nothing. And it was nothing to do with the lactose, and I can remember feeling like
so. Hang on, you carried on having the tummy aches and the eczema.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my god!
But I'd given up lactose, And then we pull, down the wheat, and you know, and I think also it was like a probably like a hormonal thing as well.
Yeah.
And I was you know getting older.
Yeah.
It kind of passed away.
And
I just remember feeling particularly screwed over by that one bit of medical advice.
Really expensive medical bullshit.
That meant that I couldn't eat chocolate for a year and a half.
As you said he was basically seeing what your bicep curl looked like as you were holding different test tubes, I thought, I'm not sure I trust this dude.
I know, because I was like, you know, the amount that you're I'm a little boy or man, the amount you're pushing down, I feel like I could feel a different force coming from his...
It's like a Ouija board level of science happening here. Well, not a great advert for Harley Street.
Yeah.
has a travel that you've done? Because the food in the book is from all over the place, or inspired by the cuisines of all over the place, and which I love. I can't bear the thought of having to... I think we've been so spoilt now that we've got access to all this stuff. The idea of having to eat just one nationality of cuisine ever again is terrifying. But... have you ever travelled to anywhere that you remember particularly because of the food?
A few places. I mean, most of my inspiration comes from, I don't know, places where I've been or visited, and restaurants I've been to. I guess one main one. I went to Cartagena. Northern coast of Colombia.
Oh, wow.
And the food there was like stunning and amazing. Right. I love fish so much. So it was a lot of like raw fish and ceviche and it was really cheap, but just kind of like really thinly sliced white fish with loads of citrus and coriander and like, you know, it was just like very, very good and fresh. Italy is a massive, inspiration for me. I've been we've got these family friends who live in the south of Italy, and so as a family we go on holiday there most years, and you know, the pastas and how simple it is, just kind of, I don't know, garlic and olive oil and I don't know, a fish or lemon
olive oil.
I know,
it is, isn't it?
That's the thing though, it's the quality of ingredients, and so it's very difficult.
But maybe you can see that your respect for that in like how simple the recipes are. There are loads of ingredients,
exactly,
and it's not all about keeping it cheap, which I have. So is one of my favourite things about the book, that each dish is affordable to make, ultimately. But also, you don't, you know, there might be one fancy ingredient in some of them, but as a rule, it's all stuff.
It's also very difficult to get it right. I mean, there's a laksa in the book.
Yes.
My kind of like experience with laksa is lots of really nice, delicious spices, and toasted off, you make a laksa paste, which is this kind of like red curry paste.
Lovely.
And then you whack it in to a wok or a pan with coconut milk and noodles, and it's meant to be this kind of like noodle soup type thing. And there are some, you know, things like shrimp paste.
Yeah.
I don't know where you find shrimp paste in England. You can't really.
Yeah, unless you've got an amazing Asian supermarket near you, which is a huge privilege and luxury.
Exactly. Yeah. So there are some recipes like that where we've had to omit certain ingredients because they're very inaccessible or because they're a little bit expensive.
Yeah.
And it's just such a fine line to tread, because with that recipe in particular, we've come under quite a lot of heat.
Right.
We uploaded a video version of the recipe in the book to Reddit, and everyone went mental.
Oh, what? It hasn't got this special paste in?
It's nothing. Like it, it's the wrong consistency,
but it's still delicious.
Exactly.
You've got to do a version of things with what most people have got access to.
Exactly.
You're not doing
and that's what
you're not pretending to be from the Malay Peninsula with access to all of that stuff.
Exactly. So I think what we try and do is we take a lot of inspiration from, you know, dishes from abroad and when we travel and restaurants and that kind of thing, and we then bring them back to the Mob Studio, develop and test them, you know, in a format that is accessible and cheap for everyone to do at home.
Brilliant.
And sometimes we don't quite hit it on the mark, but
You're always trying.
You can't impress it. You can't, you know, please everyone. So.
You can't.
Say scrumdiddlyumptious.
No!
And then you can be in my podcast.
Scrumdiddlyumptious.
A grey cloud comes to life and grows arms and legs with a massive unicorn spike, but it's like a sword instead of being like a nice spirally one. Anyway, it's found a source of all music and it's about to try and kill it with its new body and sword head. But it said it won't, and it will stop and leave music alone, but only if you, and weirdly it does have to be you, Ben, do that humiliating low spider crawl walk thing people sometimes make people do in the gym. But you have to do it across whole 15 really massive car parks that go on for miles and miles, like the IKEA one, but 15 of them. It sounds impossible. impossible, but you do it. You're a hero. Your reward is the adulation of all humanity for all time because you've saved music.
Perfect.
But your immediate reward, once you've had a shower and reset, but you're in that post-massive exercise high, you're starving.
Yeah.
Or really hungry, or ready to eat, I should say.
Yeah.
I want to know, you get the feast of your dreams.
Okay.
And nothing has to be healthy, possible, ethical. It doesn't have to exist, even.
Okay.
What would you eat? What would you drink? And if there's a who, with, and where, then who, with, and where?
Oh, God, I shouldn't really be saying this in the promo of a veggie cookbook, but...
No, you can, because it doesn't have to be ethical.
Yeah, yeah. I have, like, potentially a slightly gross, like, love for standing with in a room filled with my best friends.
Love it.
Listening some really nice, like, upbeat, jazzy music, some, like, nice Afro-jazzy tunes. At the end of a roast dinner with a chicken carcass that is that still has quite a lot of meat on it.
Yes.
And I like just picking the meat off the chicken carcass. And I have often said to my friends that I believe I would be in heaven if I was left in this situation with my best mates in the room with a half-eaten chicken carcass in front of me, perfectly cooked, listening to this music. But the chicken carcass is perpetually at that state of...
You never have to finish it.
So I never have to finish it, and I can keep tearing bits off it and getting into all the nooks and crannies and finding those
amazing,
little bits of meat.
Those really juicy bits. Do you like the skin?
Love the skin, yeah. Love the livers and the bits
amazing.
On the inside, love the bits underneath. I love it, yeah.
Good man. Anything to drink with it?
Oof.
You don't have, like, a dream drink that you'd have in that situation?
I reckon, like, a big pint of ice-cold, sparkling, fresh orange juice and fizzy water.
Nice! Yeah. Oh, I love it. I can really picture that, and I love it.
I feel like I'd be in a bit of a state if it was alcoholic after, in a perpetual sense.
Yeah,
so,
if this actually is going on for days
yeah.
of nibbling, yeah, you don't want to... Yeah, fine, I understand. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for coming around.
Yay, dear Ben. I loved that chat. Follow them on social media. They're at Mob Kitchen UK and they're on YouTube Mob Kitchen as well with lots of recipes over video that you can watch. Get the book. It's called Mob Veggie and it's in all the internet shops probably as well as lots of the real ones right now. It's really good. I am going to take it out to the Fringe with me and cook lots of lovely things from it. So why not come see a Hoovering live show or come see me do a bit of stand-up? Can't hurt, can it? Follow us at The Hoovering Pod. Follow me if you want, at Jessica Foster Q. And there's always more information about the stuff I'm up to and links to my gigs and the live shows all on my website, jessicafosterq.com. Huge thanks to Acast for hosting the podcast. Hoovering is produced by Emma Corsham and the music is by Mike Greenway. Until next week, happy hoovering.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.